So turn back, if you would, to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 to 52, to the story of blind Bartimaeus. So the children have got a little worksheet. I'll try and keep an eye on that and say the right sort of phrases for them to make a note of as we go along as well. The story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We were in last week, verse 32, they're on the road going up to Jerusalem. And you turn the page into chapter 11, now they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage. So, Jesus is on his final journey to Jerusalem. And this comes just before Palm Sunday, to the triumphant entry to Jerusalem, which begins in chapter 11. And he's coming through Jericho at this point, only 18 miles away. It might have been the same day, so this might be sort of morning of the of Palm Sunday, as it were. It may have been slightly before that, we don't know for certain. And so Jesus passes through Jericho, and he's heading along the way. And we noticed last time that there were lots of people with Jesus, verse 32. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed, and they followed and were afraid. So there's a big crowd of people on the move. Verse 46 tells us he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. So there are these huge crowds of people. There would have been anyway heading up to the Passover. There are crowds of people heading, pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so some were with Jesus, some were probably just travelling along and happened to coincide with Jesus, as it were, on the journey. And so there was great excitement. There was every Passover. Quite a sort of festive atmosphere for these festivals that were happening in Jerusalem. And there was the added excitement then of Jesus joining the crowds. And he journeys along, comes to Jericho, heading perhaps out the other side, then in verse 46. And Mark introduces us to this character, blind Bartimaeus. The first thing we notice, I'm just going to draw out four quite simple things, fairly obvious on that, I think. Firstly then, the need of Bartimaeus. The need of Bartimaeus. He's introduced to us as blind Bartimaeus. Well, that's pretty upfront, isn't it? About him. He's blind Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar. Verse 46. He's a blind beggar. Whether he was born blind, we don't know. Whether he had been made blind by some illness or some injury. Either way, he couldn't see. Normally it refers to somebody who had practically zero vision. But he was using this kind of way. He couldn't see. He couldn't hold down a job. No social care in those kind of days. And so he sits by the road begging. He had nothing. He couldn't provide for himself, he couldn't work, he couldn't have a job. And so there he was, asking for help. And no doubt he was used to that, asking for help. He couldn't do things in and of himself. He probably needed help every day, even in the most simple tasks. And here he was by the roadside, asking people for money. And he sat there by the roadside, on the road out of Jericho, it seems. And it was Passover. So perhaps on this fairly ordinary day, as it began, he headed out of his home, wherever he lived, down to the roadside, maybe to the same sort of place he always begged. But it was in the run-up to Passover. And so perhaps Bartimaeus was quite optimistic that today would be a good day for begging. That there were lots of people on the move, lots of pilgrims, and perhaps they would be feeling generous as they approached the city of Jerusalem. So there he was, begging by the side of the roads. And then everything changes. It is no ordinary day anymore. In the hubbub of noise of the big crowd of people on the move on the road to Jerusalem, he hears Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Perhaps there is something special in the noise, and the anticipation, the excitement, that there's a particular sort of focal point in this crowd, and he can hear something, and he hears maybe as often is the case, those who are blind have sharper other senses, maybe have a sharper sense of hearing than the average. You could hear what people were saying in the crowd as they passed by, as Jesus came through Jericho, and all the people in their market stalls begin to whisper, "Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? It's Jesus of Nazareth." More and more people join the crowd, as they ordinary pilgrims who are just on their way, and they happen to sort of converge as the roads did towards Jerusalem. And they're beginning to talk amongst themselves. "Oh, that's Jesus. He's come from Nazareth." There's the excitement in the crowd. And Jesus hears of it. Bartimaeus hears of it. He hears of Jesus coming. And he cries out, verse 47. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, straight away, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cried out. He wanted mercy. At this point, he probably wanted cash. He wanted coins from people who were passing by. He wanted food, things like that. Now he wants mercy from Jesus. And in desperation, he won't take no for an answer. In desperation, he cries out. Now there are people trying to shut him up and make him quiet. But he won't take no for an answer. No one will stop him. And he shouts all the more, verse 48, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This was his one chance. He tells us later he wants to see. And this was his chance. This was his opportunity. 1 week later, Jesus was dead. Jesus, we don't know, ever went back to Jericho. This is the one time Jesus is on the journey to the cross. Bartimaeus doesn't know that, perhaps the timeline of that for certain, and so on. But Bartimaeus hears of Jesus coming through Jericho, and he knows it is now or never. He's not just going to sit there by the road and think, "Oh well, Jesus is on his way now. Maybe he'll be there on his way back in a couple of weeks' time. I'll ask him then." No. Jesus is passing by, and this is it. Bartimaeus refuses to be quiet. And if Bartimaeus had missed this opportunity, would he ever have had another? We don't know. We don't know what one that he had. This was his one chance, and he takes it. Bartimaeus knew his need. What about us? Are we aware of our need? Most of us look like our vision's all right. We kind of look in the right direction anyway, for now. But are we aware of the need that we have? We need God's mercy. Just as Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, that's what we need. Have we cried out for mercy? Do we feel our need? Are we driven to desperation like Bartimaeus? Aware of our sin? Aware of the evil that we've done? Aware of our disobedience? Aware of that one day we'll die? That one day we'll face God's judgment? Are we aware of our need? Do we cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me"? Have you ever echoed Bartimaeus' prayer? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And like Bartimaeus, we have an opportunity to come to Jesus today, don't we? We don't know if we'll have another one next week. We might plan on being here next week, but we have no way of knowing, do we? Are we aware of our needs? Do we have that urgency like Bartimaeus in coming and crying out to the Lord Jesus? Second thing we notice from this simple story is the faith of Bartimaeus. The faith of Bartimaeus. Notice what happens in verse 47. "And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" There's a bit of a change there, isn't there, in the name. He heard everyone else saying, this is Jesus of Nazareth. That is the common way of referring to Jesus. They didn't as much have surnames as we do today. You refer to somebody by where they came from, and this was Jesus, a fairly ordinary name, to identify which Jesus. You go, wow, this is the Jesus from Nazareth, from up north in Galilee. That was the usual name that people used of him. But Bartimaeus does not say that. He hears that, and he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. In Mark's Gospel, no one has ever said that before. No one has ever shouted out those words. A couple in Matthew's Gospel. But Mark gives this title to Bartimaeus. He's the first recorded one to say this. I read the next little bit of chapter 11, because that's what everyone else is going to say when Jesus enters Jerusalem, isn't it? Hosanna to the Son of David is what they shout as Jesus enters Jerusalem. Where did they get the idea from? They got it from Bartimaeus. The next time we'll look at that. Maybe the next day or a couple of days later when Jesus enters Jerusalem, or maybe the same day, the crowd starts shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Everyone starts singing. Who was the soloist who got them started? It was Bartimaeus. He's the one who says those words first. You see, Bartimaeus has real sight. He can see something that no one else can. Helen Keller, Christian missionary, was blind. And once she was asked, is it terrible to be blind? Rather insensitive question, I think. She replied, it is better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes in your head and see nothing. That's how she responded. Helen Keller, who lived her whole life blind, it is better to be blind and yet be able to see with your heart than be able to see stuff, but actually in your heart be blind. And that's Bartimaeus, isn't it? He's never seen anything. He's never seen Jesus' face. He's never seen a miracle. He's never seen a healing. But he can see something in his heart. He can see that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of David. And that's quite astonishing, isn't it? Maybe he heard before. Maybe he was used to listening to passers-by. Maybe eavesdropping on many a conversation he heard of people on the move. Maybe he'd heard bits and bobs of the stories of Jesus and the things that he had done and the things that he had said. Well, here he puts two and two together. From however little he understands up until this point, he hears of Jesus of Nazareth, and he knows that it is the Son of David who is coming. God's Messiah. He uses that word. That word was used in the Old Testament to talk about the Son of David. The big one. The great one. The great Son of David. The Messiah. Bartimaeus, I don't know how much of he could piece together, but he uses the title that's there in those promises and prophecies of the Old Testament to refer to the coming Son of God. Whether he put all of those things together, we don't know for certain, but he has faith to begin to grasp some of those things, at least. And yet so many others couldn't see it. Even when the crowd did begin to echo his shout, they still didn't really get it, because they changed their tune by the end of the week as they cried out for him to be crucified. But here we see the faith of Bartimaeus. He had faith. Even though he couldn't see those things of the Lord Jesus, he'd heard little bits of it. And he cried out for mercy. And in some ways, he's in a similar situation to us, isn't he? We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Let me just try and get there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. having maybe found praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, whom you've not seen, but you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now Peter wrote to those disciples, are those who've never seen Jesus, unlike Peter, there are plenty of others who've never seen Jesus, and Peter writes to them, that even though you've never seen him, you love him, and you believe, and you rejoice, knowing the salvation of your souls. And so we, and those disciples that Peter writes to, are like Bartimaeus in that way, aren't we? We've never seen Jesus. We've never seen his miracles. We didn't see him on the cross. We didn't see him rising from the dead. But we've heard, and we believe, and we rejoice as we follow the Lord Jesus, as we know that salvation that he has won for our souls. So what about us? Have we cried out in faith for mercy from Jesus? Third thing then, the determination of Bartimaeus. He cries out in verse 47, and he's told to be quiet. And what does he do? He cries out all the more, verse 48. He's told to be quiet, but he cries out all the more, even louder, even with more gusto. He's ridiculed. He's rebuked. Others try to discourage him and dissuade him and put him off. There's the crowd coming through. There's all the pilgrims coming through. There's plenty of other sightseers, perhaps, along the road. And there's this blind beggar who many would have viewed with contempt. And now he's shouting and making a huge hullabaloo as he tries to attract Jesus' attention. And everyone else says, oh, be quiet. You're making a scene. You're looking ridiculous. What are you shouting on the monitor? You know, he's passing by. Give up. Be quiet. Anyway, he was, you know, annoying them. And they were just pushing away. Crying, calling out for him to be quiet. But we see the determination of Jesus. The determination of Bartimaeus. And we need that too, don't we? Perhaps we might face that same sort of situation. And we may have that beginnings of faith in the Lord Jesus. And we might meet plenty of people who will discourage us along the way and try and dissuade us from following Jesus and calling after him. But here we have the example of Bartimaeus. And then he gets his chance. And Jesus calls him over. Verse 49, he stood still and commanded him to be called. And then the crowd is suddenly on his side. How thick are they? Be of good cheer, rise, Jesus is calling you. And he leaves his cloak behind and walks to Jesus. And Jesus says, verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Actually, that's exactly the same question he asked in verse 36 to James and John, we looked at a couple of weeks ago. What do you want me to do for you? And they had some daft idea about asking for thrones in their pride and ambition. Here Jesus asked the same question to this man. And he responds, verse 51, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Rabboni, he says. A bit like rabbi. I know I've changed the ending to it. So it meant teacher, but it meant my teacher. It was a more personal address. And again, he's the first person to ever say that. My teacher. My master. My Lord. Mary's going to echo that title on Easter Sunday morning, isn't she? When she is the first one to see Jesus alive, she calls him Rabboni. But here he is, Bartimaeus, who calls Jesus that first. My master, I want to see. Are we determined, like Bartimaeus, to come to Jesus? Do we ask, Jesus, heal me, forgive me, cleanse me? Here Jesus does it for Bartimaeus. He says, go your way, your faith has made you well. Could be your faith has made you whole. Not just seeing, but the whole of him was healthy. The whole of him was at peace. The whole of him was forgiven and right with God. He was made whole. Jesus answers his request and gives him his sight. And the first thing he sees is Jesus' face. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus, this is his last miracle, last healing miracle, and it's recorded in Mark. He's on his way to the cross. It's 18 miles away, it's nearly in sight. And Jesus is heading, and we looked last time, back from verse 36, he's got his gaze fixed on Jerusalem. He's heading to the cross. You know when you're on a journey and you're counting down the miles? You're travelling on holiday or something like that, and you're counting down the miles. Oh, it's nearly there. And the count is getting lower on the sat-nav or whatever it is. Here Jesus is walking towards the cross. Every step is taking him closer. He's now only about 18 miles away. And he's thinking about his destination. The cross and everything he's going to do there. Everything that must have been on his mind. Knowing exactly, as we looked last time, he knew exactly what was in store there in Jerusalem. And all of those things are in Jesus' mind as he strides along the road. And he hears someone call. And he stops. There were hundreds of people in the crowd shouting all kinds of things. He heard one person call. And he stopped to answer. Jesus never strides on past someone who asks him. Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And there was no chance, even with all of that stuff going on in Jesus' head, that he'd brush him off. What a wonderful Savior we have. Jesus hears someone call, and he stops. Now Jesus is exalted in heaven. He's sitting at the throne in glory. And maybe there could be at any one moment in time billions of people praying to him. Couldn't there? But when one person calls, he answers. It doesn't matter if there's millions of people calling at the same time, he can answer. And so, have you come to Jesus? Are you determined? Have you prayed for mercy? Have you called out? Because Jesus is still the same. He never shuts a deaf ear, as it were, and doesn't listen to those prayers. Lastly, the commitment of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had been healed. Maybe he'd been blind all his life. And he came before Jesus, Son of David, and asked to see. And now he could. What next? What next? In Psalm 116 and verse 12 we read this, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" What shall I do next? Bartimaeus might have thought, what shall I do? Now I can see. You know, people have sometimes have bucket lists, don't they? Things they want to see before they die. Places they want to go, that kind of thing. Maybe Bartimaeus had all of those wish lists, things he'd like to see. If he ever got his sight, now he can. Now he can see. What's he going to do? What's he want to do with this newly restored sight? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? We're told in the last verse, on the last phrase, he followed Jesus on the road. He followed Jesus in the way. It could be translated. He heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He knew he was the Son of David. He called him Rabboni, my Lord, my Master. And he's gone from being a beggar to a disciple in 2 minutes. Luckily, before he was sitting by the road, begging. And now he's up on his feet, following Jesus. Previously, verse 50, we're told he threw aside his garment. Blind people don't throw things aside. Not normally, because they can't find them again. When he threw away his cloak, probably the thing he used for catching coins, threw away that money. He didn't want that. He turned to Jesus. Jesus, I want to see. Jesus gives him his sight, and immediately he follows Jesus. He follows Jesus in the way, Mark says. He walks in Jesus' footsteps. He follows Jesus in the way, the narrow way, the way that leads to life. Matthew tells us about two beggars in his gospel account at this point. Mark and Luke just tell us about the one. They focus perhaps on the central character. Maybe Bartimaeus was the noisy one. There was another one as well. But anyway, Mark and Luke just tell us about the one. But Mark is the only one who tells us his name. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Mark tells us his name probably because people knew his name. Otherwise, why would he? People knew his name because it is likely Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was still there in the early church when Mark wrote his gospel. That would make most sense as to why he used his long name at this point. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Did he follow Jesus right the way through the next week? Into Jerusalem? Into the temple? Did he hear Jesus' teachings? Was he there at Jesus' trial? Did he come near to Jesus' cross as Jesus was dying there? Did he join the band of disciples who saw Jesus after the resurrection? He follows Jesus in the way, so perhaps the answer is yes to those questions, but we don't know for certain. He follows Jesus. What about us? Have we cried out for mercy? Have we received that mercy and forgiveness that comes from Jesus? Are we like Bartimaeus, committed to following him in the way, walking on the road, following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ? In this character there in the Gospels, we see the need of Bartimaeus, the faith of Bartimaeus, his determination and his commitment. And hopefully, even in a simple story, there's something for each of us to learn.